Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
No wonder Jesus said, "Be careful that you don't let your heart be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpected. For it will fall unexpectedly on those who dwell on the earth, and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things." Pray that you would keep your life right, and that when Jesus returns, you would go with him.
Pray that we would be ready when Jesus returns. We need to be ready and stay ready because we do not know when Jesus will come back for his church and the tribulation period will begin. Today on Practical Christian Living, we are looking at the beginning of the terrible torment and judgment that God unleashes on this earth as described in Revelation chapter 9. Live for Jesus today, not only to escape these things to come in the future, but to live the abundant life that Jesus has for you today. With part 2 of Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Who are the angels that didn't keep their proper abode? Genesis chapter 6 tells us that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married them and abided with them. They lived with them. Now, 1 Peter gives us the clue that this is the event he's talking about. 1 Peter 3:19 and 20. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. This is Jesus. He goes and he speaks to the spirits in prison. Why? I don't know. But he did. Who formerly were disobedient when once divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. So something happened during the days of Noah with demons, with demonic spirits, fallen sons of God, and God bound them in chains in a pit. Now, why do I think it's this pit? Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, same place. This is Revelation 20. And a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, Satan. No question, this is the arch enemy of God, right? And bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him so that he should not deceive the nations till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So Satan will be locked up in this pit. So it may be the same place that the other angels are. Revelation 11:7 speaks of the bottomless pit as well. When they finish their testimony, these are the two witnesses witnessing in Jerusalem, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit, which is a reference of the Antichrist. We're going to be there in just a little while. The Antichrist has his source from the bottomless pit. Will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So these two witnesses haven't been able to be defeated or killed, but the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit is able to defeat them. So the bottomless pit is a literal place. Somewhere here on the earth, if we maybe camouflaged, we don't know what the gates are. There's a key to it. The key is given to the fallen angel. The fallen angel opens up the pit, and we get this. And he opened the bottomless pit, verse 2, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. The first time that you find smoke in judgment is in Sodom and Gomorrah. And locusts can also be so thick that they talk about the sun being darkened by locusts. Locust clouds can come in and block the sun. But it's not the locust blocking the sun here. It's the smoke that they come out of. These are demonic. There's demonic influences behind them. I believe they are real creatures that are demonically influenced, which you never want, right? Dog, good. Demonic dog, bad. Cat, good. Demonic cat, bad. Locust, scorpion, bad already. Demonic locust, scorpion, worse, okay? So this, and now it's worse as well, that all of a sudden this darkness rolls in. And if you were making this into a horror movie, and you could make a horror movie that is Bible-based, that's something, right? If you're making it into a horror movie, after introducing your characters and the dilemma that they're in, you would have the sky suddenly darkened by a smoke. You had a smoke roll in, and now it's dark. To add to the creepiness of what's going to happen, it's no longer daytime. It's a supernatural darkness by this smoke that came out of the bottomless pit. Verse 3, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. Out of the smoke come these creatures. And it says, and to them was given power as of a scorpion of the earth have power. It's interesting that Jesus said, behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. We see serpents connected to demons, but scorpions, that he would say, I give you power over scorpions. And here we have scorpions that are given power over the earth. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or the green trees, but only men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, because they're commanded not to attack the grass or the trees, I think these are real scorpions. Real locusts that could feed on the trees and on the grass, but they're told not to, but only to torment men who do not have the seal of God. The only men that have the seal of God are the 144,000. In other words, if you fall into the category of using a very overused word of being left behind, you are fighting off these locusts. If you have become a Christian after the tribulation period begins, then you will face these locusts. No wonder Jesus said, be careful that you don't let your heart be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpected. For it will fall unexpectedly on those who dwell on the earth, and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things. Pray that you would keep your life right, and that when Jesus returns, you would go with him, because you don't want to face these locusts. Now, when I talk about Jesus in Matthew 21, 34, 35, 36, talking about praying to escape, people will say, have said to me, well, you're just an American who wants to escape. I don't know how the American thing fits in. Yes, I'm an American. Yes, I want to escape. But Jesus told me, I don't want to face the locust scorpion things that harass men. Now, they were given authority. It goes on to say, the 144,000 or 145,000 Jews that have been sealed, they don't have to worry about it, but everybody else does. And they were not given authority to kill them. So I take it they could have killed, but they can't because they're in authority, but to torment them for 5 months. So everything is controlled. You can't kill them, but you can torment them, and you can torment them for 5 months. So this is 5 months of torment that comes from them. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Now, because scorpions here, I did some research today on scorpions. And I found out that there's 1,000 different types of scorpions in the world. And the most deadly scorpion is a bark scorpion found in southern Arizona. There's only one that kills people out of the 1,000 type of scorpions. And we live in the place where these scorpions kill people. And, you know, I asked the same question on the other side, and I was shocked that more people hadn't been bitten by scorpions, because I've been bitten by them several times. So I'm going to ask you guys the question, how many of you have been stung by a scorpion? Raise your hand. I want to see. All right, so you look around. There's not many. Lucky people. How do I get stung several times and you don't get it at all? The last time, I'm in my our living room, and I hear it sounds like a gunshot next door. So I run out of the backyard, just turn around and see. Do I see people there or what? And I kind of look around the house and I step on the hose rolled up in the backyard and it hits me in the heel. So I'm barefoot. Wham! And I'm like, I run inside immediately. You know, you get that pain, like, ow! And I run inside. And then I'm rubbing my foot and I'm looking for the dot and it hurts like the dickens, right? And then it kind of starts to go away. And I think, I got to know if that's a bark scorpion, a bark scorpion or not. So, you know, bark scorpions are really small. So I go out to see it, and I check, and it's a pretty good-sized scorpion. So it's not a bark scorpion, whatever other scorpions we have here. And by the way, if you have a black light, if you have a flashlight that's a black light, you can go out at night into, like, the alleyways around your house or in the desert, and scorpions are fluorescent. You'll be able to see them. There's a lot of them out there, which is how I don't know how you've escaped them. I can also tell you that a scorpion in a bed feels like a rubber band. I can tell you that. You put your feet down there and like there's a rubber band down there. When you look, it's a scorpion, not a rubber band. So if you ever have that feeling, get out of your bed immediately. Now, the sting of the scorpion is like that, okay? It hurts like crazy. It says, then, in these days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. So let's remain with what this says. Let's not impose on the text. One of the things that we want to learn to not do is to make the text say something the text doesn't say. So it doesn't say men are going to jump off of buildings, splatter on the ground, and then wriggle around alive, wishing they could die. It doesn't say they're going to jump in front of a train, get splattered all over, and then be in different pieces, alive and not dying. Okay? That's not what it says. It says that when they get stung, they want to die. They seek death and do not find it. Doesn't say they tried to commit suicide. They seek death and they desire to die, but death will flee from them. They won't die from this bite, but the bite is so bad that they will want to die. This is like a real horror movie, right? And you could show how people survive through the 5 months. And we get a description of them. Now, this description, we say John is trying to describe something to us that he hasn't seen. And so he uses a lot of words like as and like, as of and like to describe. So Hal Lindsey, in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, said that he believed that these were helicopters. What we're going to read now are helicopters. I don't think they are, and I'm going to show you why, because I don't think helicopters sting people for 5 months and they're tormented. It's interesting that there are weapons on helicopters called stingers. That's interesting. That, you know, they have stingers that are here, but I think if you get hit with one of those stingers, you're done. I think you're no suffering for 5 months. You're just pretty much done if you get hit from a stinger from a helicopter. So I think he's describing a very real creature. Now, interestingly enough, next week, when we're looking at the sixth seal, it seems like there's overtones of war in that one. Doesn't seem like there is here, but you can kind of decide for yourself. So verse 7 says, the shape of the locust was like a horse prepared for battle. Doesn't mean that was the size of the locust. I hope that's not the size of the locust, the size of a horse. I always picture them, and I don't know why, because it doesn't say, but I picture them the size of chihuahuas for whatever reason. Flying scorpion locust chihuahuas. They're like a horse prepared for battle. A war horse that prepares itself for battle is fired up. It's not like a horse you rent to ride from these places, which I don't even know if you can do that anymore. Can you just go rent a horse and ride it now, we did when we were kids? I don't know if you can. But they were like the most lethargic things in the world until you turned them around facing their home, and then they were like off to the races. But a war horse is ready for war. It knows what's coming. It's prepared. It knows war, and it's fired up, and that's the idea. These locusts are fired up. They're angry. The shape of the locust was like a wild horse prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. It doesn't mean they were wearing crowns, as I've seen pictures of these locusts, and each one of them has a little crown on their head. It's something like a crown that is made of something like gold. Their faces were like the faces of men, which is terrifying even more. Their hair like the hair, like a woman's hair, which makes it even more terrifying for some reason. I'm not afraid of women's hair, but on these things, it scares me. Their teeth were like lion's teeth, which can't be good. And they had a breastplate like the breastplate of iron. So here you could add to your horror movie, these things are hard to kill. They got something protecting them from being killed. And so as you're hunkering down and trying to fight against them, and you hear them coming like the sound, well, it's going to give a description of their sound here in a minute, but you hear them coming, and then you got to figure out how to kill them, and you'd have to figure out, you know, what way to survive for these 5 months. It goes on to say, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of a chariot with its horses running into battle. And this is where Hal Lindsey got a helicopter, because, you know, the sound of a helicopter is unmistakable when it goes over your house. You know clearly that's a helicopter that's gone over, and it kind of makes a sound like that. But have you ever had a bumblebee fly by your head? And you go, man, that was pretty loud. Or a hummingbird even. A hummingbird will fly pretty close to you, and you can hear it really well. Imagine these locusts, and imagine what it must sound, real locusts, not demon-possessed locust, scorpion things, but real locusts. They say it's deafening. They blot out the sun, and it's deafening when a locust swarm comes in. And these creatures, their wings sounded like chariots. And then they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tail. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. So again, this is the first of the judgments that's directly against men, and it's a doozy. And it makes us think we don't want it. Now, why would we say they're demonic? There's been nothing so far other than they came out of the bottomless pit, and Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit. That's a demonic connection. So, but there's nothing really so far, but here we go, verse 11, and they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. So now we learn that there's an angel of the bottomless pit. In the Old Testament, it says locusts don't have kings. We know these locusts are different, but they have a king over them whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek, his name is Apollyon, Hebrew and Greek for destroyer. The name of this angel of the bottomless pit is destroyer. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Now, most commentators will say that this is Satan. The Satan is the destroyer. So if this is Satan, then something else I've said that is wrong, I need to correct when I said we don't know his name. If this is Satan, his name is Apollyon, destroyer, that's the name. And the Bible does say he moves around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour, and he's a destroyer. Now, I'm going to come back to, we don't know whether this is Satan. Again, just handling the word of God carefully, we don't want to impose something on the text that isn't there. Is Apollyon Satan? Maybe. It doesn't say it is. It seems to me, if Apollyon was Satan, and if the angel, the star falling from heaven that opens the bottomless pit, were Satan, that we would be told that. It'd be very easy for him to go, this is Apollyon, also known as the devil, Satan, the dragon, right? We've got all of these descriptions of the arch enemy. If this were the arch enemy, it seems to me he would have said it. So I lean on the side that this Apollyon is another angel that we know the name of, which is another thing I've said before, that we only know the name of two angels, Gabriel and Michael, and Lucifer is not the name of Satan, so we only know two. Well, now we know three because we got another one added in. So I have to go back to that, Apollyon. So what angel is it? What fallen angel is this? It's Apollyon. It's the destroyer. And maybe Satan. Now, three things in closing. Number one, no wonder Jesus tells us to pray to be counted worthy to escape all these things. Because we are counted worthy to escape these things that are going to come upon people who dwell on the earth. Number two, these are earth dwellers who are judged. We see that throughout the book of Revelation. It's going to come to test those who dwell on the earth, and the judgment comes out of the earth and judges them. This horrible judgment comes from the earth, which they worship, which they put up above everything else, and oftentimes in the sin is the judgment. Oftentimes God would keep you from sin because in the sin is the judgment itself. You guys see the movie Jesus Revolution? So some of you guys, it's a good movie. It's the foundations of Calvary Chapel. Since we're at Calvary Chapel, and it's Greg Glory's testimony. Greg Glory's a great evangelist, and they cover Lonnie Frisbee's part in Calvary Chapel. Lonnie Frisbee was, for lack of a better term, the original hippie in the hippie movement, and he was used by God in a powerful way. But Lonnie came out of Haight-Ashbury, where there was a lot of, in his own terms, these are his own words, he wrote his own biography, where he says that he was involved in bisexuality. So he was involved in, well, bisexuality. And he says he wasn't a homosexual, was never a homosexual, but that in the 80s, he backslid into it again. So he had two times in his life where he fell in this area, before he was a Christian, and then he backslid when he was a Christian back into that lifestyle. Now, in his biography, his autobiography, he writes that he bears in his body the judgment of the sin he was involved in. The sin itself brought him AIDS. So AIDS was around in the 80s. He died of AIDS in 1994. And he writes that this is a just judgment of God because of the things that he was involved in when he was backslidden. It was the sexual sin that he was involved in that carried the consequences that brought the judgment into his life. And he gives a great warning against sin bringing a certain kind of judgment. Sin is, I like to say sin is sin for a reason, and God wants us to not be involved in sin because of the judgments that come along with sin. And we see this as a picture of it. They're judged from the earth by the scorpions, and they are earth dwellers. And this is what the earth gives them. Finally, the Bible is so much deeper than we think. There's so much more here. We don't need to spend our time trying to figure out new ideas or new thoughts that aren't biblical. The more we study the scriptures, the more we realize there's more to find. I've been a pastor for 38 years. I think this is the fourth time through the book of Revelation. Maybe it's the third time, but I think it's the fourth time through it. It's sad when you've done it so many times, you can't remember how many times you've done it. And I can tell you that as I get to it now, I want to do it again. I find myself at the end of it going, I think I could do better. After I'm done with a chapter, I'm thinking, I think I can do better. And I hear people, Chuck Smith used to say this, and he pastored for over 50 years. Charles Swindoll says this. I think he's pastored for over 50 years. David Jeremiah says this. I think he's pastored for over 50 years. Plus, I think all of these three guys are guys that know the Word of God really well. But each one of them has said, the more I learn about the Bible, the more I realize I don't know. And I think if Jeremiah doesn't know, Charles Swindoll doesn't know, Chuck Smith doesn't know, where am I then? You know, how much do I have to learn? I'm just saying, let's stick to the Word. Let's find out what's here. There are just two new areas for study that we looked at tonight. One of them is, how did Satan defeat the nations? That's an interesting statement. So we can start to research that out. That's all leads down a whole new path. And what kind of angels are there? And where do we find the kind of angels in the Bible? What are the different kind of angels? So that becomes a very interesting study as well. And there's a lot of work that's been done along these lines that you can find some help out there if you're interested in it. But we can just stay true to the scriptures, dive in, and it's so much deeper than we can possibly ever imagine. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time we're able to spend here in the Word today. Thank you for your love, your call in our lives. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us. You know that we are weak. You know that we sin and we need forgiveness for sins. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, that we would not have the judgment that comes from sin, but that we would surrender ourselves to you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.